Well, we're going to continue this morning with our current series, and you know, every week it's been a good thing for me, as well as I know many of you have said that they've really enjoyed this series, and I hope today will be no different. It's ministered to me, and I think it'll minister to you. But we're talking, of course, about the parables of Yeshua. These were the sayings of Yeshua during his earthly ministry. They're found in the Gospels, the Gospel accounts. Many of them are in multiple Gospel accounts, kind of why I picked some of them, because they kind of say it, and they say it a little bit differently. But Yeshua taught us many parables during his earthly ministry. He taught about very complex things, very big things, the things of heaven, the things of the Lord, the things of the coming kingdom, spiritual issues. These are heavy topics. Sometimes they're just up there and you can't relate to them, right? They're just, theoretical. You know, what about this? You know, I'm just looking at my life and there's no, my life doesn't bear resemblance to those things. So he took these things of heaven, these complex and very abstract ideas sometimes, and he relayed them to people in very simple terms, in very simple stories. And I think that's where the power comes from it, because to take something that is so hard to explain and something that is so hard to comprehend and to break it down for people into ways that they can understand it, that they can get it, that they can apply it, that takes a lot of skill. It's not an easy thing to make the hard or the difficult into something simple. But Yeshua was a master at it, and he did it time and again. And we're gonna look at one of those stories, those illustrations today. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to start off with verses 24 through 26, Matthew 13, 24 through 26. He, Yeshua, put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also." So we talked a little bit about agricultural type things in the last few weeks, but now we see here what seems to be a pretty straightforward parable, and it's even more straightforward because Yeshua actually explains it to us in the coming verses. He actually explains this parable, which is a little unusual, but let's go there. Matthew 13, 37 to 39. He answered, Yeshua, because they were asking, what does this parable mean? What are you talking about? He says, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Yeshua, the Son of Man, the Messiah. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So he doesn't give us any question, any mystery about what this is all relating to. Okay? The good seed is us, sown by Yeshua himself. So followers of Yeshua, believers, those who are following after the Lord, his disciples. You and I are his disciples because we're his students. He's the master, we're the students. And of course, that's what it's referring to here. But then you also have these weeds. And you have the one who's sowing the weeds as the enemy or the devil or Hasatan. So you see clearly good and evil here. Many people in Judaism today say, in traditional Judaism, well, there's no heaven and no hell, and we just have to be good people and all that stuff. In fact, sometimes even in Christian circles, unfortunately, people start preaching about there's no heaven and no hell. But heaven is very real, and hell is very, very real, folks. And we need to understand that, and we need to take this simple story and really look at that complex meaning and apply it. Yeshua is saying something very simply in a story, but what is he really relating to? This is serious stuff. This is not just a kid's story. You know, when you read it in a children's Bible, it's like, oh, isn't that a great story for the kids? But it's real, and we need to apply it to our lives. So the enemy, the devil, goes around, and he's sowing these seeds of weeds amongst all around the good seed that's going on. It's not like the good seed's over here, there's a fence around it, oh, thankfully, we're all safe, you know? No, there's weeds all around the good seed. So there's three things I want to bring out today about this parable. This is a really interesting parable to me. And so number one, we live in a world where good and evil are sometimes, well, good and evil are living amongst themselves, but sometimes they're hard to distinguish between the two. I want to go into that a little bit. What do I mean by that? The enemy, Hasatan, is a counterfeit. Everything we know that God is and that Yeshua is and that he is good, he is decent, he is kind. Yes, it's true that the enemy is right there and he's evil. You know, you see the pictures of him with the pitchfork and the horns and, oh boy, I know that's the devil. I'm going to go right over here because I know what he looks like. He doesn't look like that. He's a counterfeit. And his seed all around, these weeds, they're counterfeit. They're not going to look like weeds all the time. They're not going to act and look like, you know, like how he looks all the time with his little minions around him. Everybody would avoid that if they saw it. But he's more clever than that. He's a counterfeit. He's always imitating God. We always think, like I said, it's good versus evil. Well, you know what? In the Garden of Eden, the enemy came to them and he spoke a lot of truth, but twisted just a little bit. It wasn't just like Adam and Eve were like, oh boy, I saw you from a distance by your horns and the red. I mean, I'm not even going to follow you. No, he looked like any other creature in the garden. He said some really interesting things. Wow, maybe he's got a point to that. He's a counterfeit. And he's going to come, and he and his followers are going to come, and they're going to be interspersed amongst us. And sometimes it's not easy right away to distinguish. When people hear the word of God, we talked a couple of weeks ago about how the seed falls on different types of ground, right? We talked about the seed falling on rocky ground. The seed, in that analogy, in that story, that seed was the word. Okay, in this story, the seed is us. But in that story, the seed was the word, and the word is falling, and it falls sometimes on rocky ground. And we talked all about what the rocky ground was. We talked about the thorny ground. There's all these analogies of the bad ground that the seed falls on. And obviously that means the word of God doesn't stick in people's lives many times. People hear it, and then the cares of the world, the attraction of the world sometimes takes that seed and negates it. But then there's seed that falls along good ground. And those are the believers, the people that stick with it, the people that accept the Lord and then start living a godly life and start following after Yeshua. A lot of people go around and, oh, I'm a believer. Well, you look at their lives and it's like, ooh, you're not living that life of a believer. So we're talking here about that good seed that's been planted. You and I that are striving, that are seeking, that are asking, that are knocking at the door of the Lord every day, that are wanting to be his disciples and his followers. And this parable starts off with the seed that fell along the good ground. And the fruit of that is you and I. And Hasatan, the enemy, tries to do everything he can, doesn't he? To dissuade us, to discourage us, to make sure that that seed doesn't fall on good ground. And even after it's in there, and maybe it's sprouting, he tries to do things like send, I don't know, famine and all this other stuff to make sure that you don't grow as a believer. He's going to try it. If he can't get you on the way in, he's going to try you during the whole process. And that's why being a believer is not like, okay, I passed the first test. I'm a year into it. I've been following the Lord. I developed good habits. The enemy's left me alone. No, he's going out after you more and more. He is like, as the scriptures say, he's this lion that goes around prowling. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get us off of our step. He's trying to discourage you. He's trying to prevent you from becoming a follower of Yeshua or prevent you from continuing to follow. How many people do you know that were once followers and then have just abandoned the faith? It's becoming all too common now. We have to continually seek after the Lord, continually, so that we continue to be that good seed. But obviously this is tough because the enemy is there. He resorts to all these methods when he can't get us in other things. One of them is planting counterfeit believers amongst the true believers. Revelation 2:2. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. Anytime you get discouraged, like, oh, why can't we live like we did in biblical times with that faith and everything? Have you read the Bible? There are so many instances of problems going on if you just read through the New Testament. You read any one of the letters of Paul, and you'll find people were engaged in all sorts of bad stuff. And I'm talking about believers. People were struggling with all sorts of weird stuff that was because we're not separated from the world when we come to know the Lord. So the temptation is still there. We read about some really crazy stuff going on in the New Testament amongst believers in congregations. Why? Because this minute we step out of this door, these doors, we're in the world. We're interspersed amongst that bad seed, that those weeds. We have to be very careful. We can't just accept what everybody says. Oh, well, God brought them to me. They must have my best interest at heart. No. You got to test things. You got to make sure that you know who's speaking to you. Be careful who speaks to you in your life and speaks into your life. You have to always be vigilant. If they have the same if they had those problems 2,000 years ago, what makes us think we're not going to have those problems today? We're going to have those problems today. Many of us do have those problems today. And you know, sometimes you go on, you're running on empty. You know, you ever had the gas tank so empty that you're like, I hope I can make it 2 more miles to the gas station. Sometimes as believers, we go through the week and we're like, I am so on empty. I just need to make it to Shabbat. I just need to make it to service today, because we're here to encourage each other. We're here to praise the Lord. And you know, when you do that, it's not like, oh, thank you, God, I've had a rough week. It's, ah, thank you, God, and you recharge. It's like bringing yourselves to the gas pump and you get gas free of charge. What a deal. You got to gas up today free of charge here. Let me tell you, and you fill yourself back up for the week, because when we go out there, it's tough out there, and you sometimes get low and low and low. Sometimes you're running on empty, but you need to come back in and you need to fuel, because out there are the counterfeits and the counterfeit stuff. It's really real. Here's another scripture from the New Testament, 2 Peter 2:1-2. But false prophets also arose among the people. Just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. I love how God does things, because I put messages together, and then I like listen to things on TV or get on Facebook, or just I'm out there in the world, and God uses illustrations to me. For me, this week it was, most weeks it's Facebook. I don't know. I got to get off Facebook more. But there's good stuff on Facebook too. But you see things and it's like, listen, this stuff is going on now. I just read an article a couple of days ago and I was just like, unbelievable. It was somebody just railing against believers because we don't have enough tolerance for all types of people. And I was like, oh boy. So, I thought to myself was, people are out there, philosophies are out there, heretical things are out there, and it's just like Hasatan in the Garden of Eden. He's taking a lot of truth, and then he's twisting it a little bit. Okay, I read the article and I said, which Yeshua are they talking about? It's not the Yeshua that I'm reading about. It's the Yeshua that, he's all about love and don't worry, you can live in your sin, and God loves you. It's all about love. Listen, God is all about love, and there's a lot of grace, but there's also this thing called truth. And we know Yeshua was the master of the balance between truth and grace. We need to seek every day that balance between truth and grace. You can't be too so far on the truth side that you're beating up people, and nobody wants to come into the kingdom of God because they're like, I don't want to be like that. And you can't be so much on grace that you're going to let anything happen in the kingdom of God. And, well, it's okay, because that's not how God is. God is a balance between truth and grace. And we have to have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit that is in us, to guide us through those things. So be careful what's out there. There's a lot of stuff out there that's going to tell you, this is the Yeshua we should follow. Or this is the Yeshua. You know what? This is the Yeshua. He's in the book. Okay? He's in the book. Sometimes I get so frustrated with all these books that are written, these Christian books or whatever books, because you know, you can take the Lord and you can just turn it a little bit. I'm not saying all the books are bad. There's some good stuff out there. But you got to be careful because God sometimes, God says things, and sometimes the enemy plants counterfeit things to throw you off. We got to be very careful. The second point I want to bring out today about this passage is that we are here in this world not to have fun, even though I like to have fun sometimes, but as a believer, we're here to work out our salvation. That's the purpose. Everybody thinks, oh, I've accepted the Lord. That's it. I can go hang out now. Let me get some iced tea and go sit on the porch and just let life come because everything's great now. No, the battle just begins. Unfortunately, you know, this world is all about a battle. But you know what? As soon as we come to know the Lord, there's this process we go through the rest of our life. And I don't care how advanced you get in that process and how good you are, there's always something you can learn every day. There's always a way you can get closer to God. There's always things you need to look at yourself and say, I really should stop doing that, or I really need to work on that because that's not pleasing to the Lord. We are here to work out our salvation. Matthew 13, 27 through 29. Let's go back to this parable today, this passage. Let's look at this aspect of working out our salvation. And the servants of the master of the house came in and said to him, this is the master, Master, did you not sow good seeds in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, An enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? Meaning, let's go get all these crops because all these weeds are polluting the crops. We gotta protect the crops. And the servants of the master, and he said to them, The enemy has done this. And verse 29, But he said, No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the weed along with them. Folks, this is the reason why we're still here after we accept the Lord. Okay, we're here because the master did not want the servants to go in and gather up the wheat right away from the weeds, because you know why? It's hard to distinguish the wheat from the weeds in an immature state. Did you know that about crops? When they're not fully mature, it's hard to distinguish. Sometimes there's, is that a weed or is that a good thing there? I don't know. I don't know what that is. You know, we want God to come in right away and say, God, why is there still evil in the world? Why is there still people upsetting me and persecuting me? Psalm 3:1. David asked this. You know, David, King David. Oh, Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising up against me. He wasn't singing, oh, I love the Lord. Thank you, God, for me being a believer now or following the Lord. You know, obviously, Yeshua hadn't come at that point, but he was close to the Lord. He was saying, I've got problems still. Many are my foes. Many people want to rise up and destroy me. It wasn't all, you know, fun and games. Believers around the world are being persecuted. Maybe not in our country so much, but believers in China are being persecuted. Someone was just telling me at work that his wife, who goes to a large church in the area here, is going on a mission trip to China. And one of the people, she's an HR director. So, okay, she was fine. She put on her application HR director. The next person on their application put teacher, and they dismissed her. They wouldn't let her go until she changed it because they don't want anybody teaching about God in China. The government does not want anybody teaching about the things of the kingdom. So they made her change it. This is a Christian group that's going on a mission. So she had to I'm not really a teacher. I'm a whatever she put. I don't know. But you get the point. People are being persecuted in these places. We don't realize it because we're kind of sitting back in America a lot of times, and we don't see this. People are being ridiculed and tortured and killed. We heard, of course, and saw what ISIS did in the last year with beheading Christians, beheading people, going through these towns and wiping out Christians. I was just reading, listening on the news the other day about Assyrian Christians who are being persecuted. You know, all the refugees coming over, well, 99.9% of them are Muslim. But there's a lot of Christian refugees, too, that are they're not being allowed in the same numbers, and they're living in terrible conditions. It's only natural for us to want God to come down and fix things right now because we see the suffering. We may be the ones suffering. It's very easy to say, God, many are my foes. Many are rising up against me. Not only that, we see all these false religions coming up, these deceptive and hollow philosophies, and we ask God, why are you allowing this to happen? how come this is being allowed? Because if it's being allowed, maybe it's being sanctioned, God. No, that's not it. That's not it. Just because God is not silencing our enemies right now and those that oppose our God doesn't mean God doesn't have a plan. If God were to try to pull us up or pull the weeds out, he might pull some of us. And, you know, we have to be very careful because, yes, we're changed at the moment that we come to know the Lord, but we still have some pretty bad things about us we have to work out through our lives. Sometimes our behavior is worse than non-believers still. You know, are we a wheat or are we a weed someday? Some days I'm a weed, you know what I mean? We don't want to be weeds, but sometimes we act very weedy. You know what I mean? We have to be very careful. We have to work this salvation out. It's a process. It's a process called sanctification, and it continues out throughout our lives. It does not happen overnight. A lot of people think, okay, I've accepted the Lord. Boom, I'm changed in the blink of an eye. No, there's a transformation process that goes, and it's sometimes a difficult process. It forces us to look in the mirror and say, ooh, I need to change that. You know, and it also seems the older we are when we accept the Lord, the more baggage we've accumulated, right? So someone that accepts the Lord at a later date, sometimes they have a lot of things that they've got to repent from and also change habits from. It doesn't just happen overnight. We don't just accept Yeshua and poof, we're changed in the blink of an eye. Salvation or justification is only the beginning. We have to have this process of sanctification and growing in maturity. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not going to be easy, especially when there's things in the world that is going to try to put us off course. That sounds kind of right. How do we know what to distinguish it? We have this wonderful thing that God gives us called wisdom and discernment. And you know what? Pray for wisdom and discernment in your life. Read Proverbs. Read through the scriptures. Get with somebody that's a more seasoned or mature believer than you. People need to be discipled today. We don't think we need to be discipled today. We need to be discipled. That's not some fancy thing. That's basically just getting with somebody that knows more of you about the Lord than you and learning from them. Learning from them, growing. We can learn a lot from each other. We have so much to give, but yet we like to keep it to ourselves. We have so much to give. We need to give it out. We need to let that maturity out so that other people can take it and they can grow in the Lord. And then the third and final thing I want to talk about today as we look at this passage is to stand firm because our deliverance will come. That's a wonderful hope that we have. Matthew 13:30. Let's go there. Matthew 13:30. Last part of this passage. Let us both grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. So after you've got this maturity, after you've withstood all these crazy attacks that are going on in the world, they're going to be rounded up. Don't worry about all the weeds going on. It's not our job to be the policemen of the kingdom. Focus on your life. Focus on growing in the Lord. Focus on your family. Focus on your congregation. Focus on the areas God's given you. But stop worrying about how bad the world is. The world's not going to get any better, folks. Okay? We have to be careful. And we have to stand firm until the end. We are going to live in this world among counterfeits. Don't let that stop us from getting closer and closer to God. And don't worry about the counterfeits. Because they're going to try to prevent you from growing. And we need to be fully mature so that when Yeshua does come back, it's like, okay, come on, everybody. Let's get into my barn. And he's going to see you from far away. You know what I'm saying? Oh, that's so-and-so. Man, they've been really growing over the last few years. They're just going right in. You know, let's not even get caught up in the things of the world. It happens all too often. Be careful the things you're letting in. Be careful the people you're talking to. Let's grow in the Lord, but let's know our salvation, our deliverance is sure. And one day, there is going to be a change in this world, and there's not going to be these counterfeits around us. We got to just press on because there's some great things ahead. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. You know, one of the wonderful, most wonderful and sweetest things is the love that we can have for each other in Yeshua. You could take people, and people in our congregation are from all different backgrounds, let me tell you. And you could take people that are so different that would never meet and become friends out there in the world. We become believers, and there is something that is instantly binding, that is sweeter than any other thing we could have in common in the world. And that is the love of Yeshua. And that is so wonderful and so sweet. And I see it a lot of times, too, amongst all the Messianic rabbis. You know, I'm on this rabbi's forum, and all the rabbis are in this rabbi's forum, and we can go back and we can talk about things. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't necessarily agree on. I call them the minor points, the gray areas, right? Oh, should we do this? Should we do that? Well, we're not really sure. But one thing that we always keep coming back to on the forum, and I'm so thankful for this, is we always say, we love you guys. We love each and everybody. We may not agree on everything, but the love of Yeshua is greater than all these little differences. God will work all these little things out. But the love that we have for each other should carry us through the week. The love we have for each other should propel us to that growth. And we can really learn from each other. You can learn from people in the congregation that are so different than from you. You would have been like, I would have never come across you in life. But you know what? Yeshua is going to give you that love. And you're going to learn things. And you're going to grow in ways you never thought you could grow by being here. And you know, we used to go to a congregation. I've grown up in the Messianic movement. And when I was 16 and 17 years old, I lived in Florida. So basically, it was me and a bunch of old people. Okay, I didn't grow up in a huge youth group. My wife and I are one of the few people, there's nothing about older people. But it's Florida. There's retirees everywhere. And then I grew up in Florida. But you know what? I had such great fellowship with 60 and 7-year-olds even as a kid. Because that's the love of Yeshua. I learned so much from those older men. And I still do all the time. And you know what? Older people, you can learn from younger people too. It goes both ways. That love of Yeshua, you're going to learn so much from each other. You're going to grow more than you ever thought possible. But we have to stand firm together until the end. I'm going to leave you with one more scripture here. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. God doesn't say if trials come, when trials come. Are we prepared when trials come? Sometimes, I'm going to tell you, sometimes I walk around, I feel like invincible. Like, yeah, I'm ready for trials. Right? Yeah, they can't get to me. And then some days I'm like, oh, I hope that God doesn't throw any trials this way. I hope nothing happens because I'm not feeling it today. You're going to have those days. You're going to have days where you feel like a superhero, and then you're going to have days where you feel like the opposite, whatever the opposite of a superhero. You need some superheroes in your life to save you. But that's part of the process. We shouldn't get discouraged. You know, sometimes as a young believer, I would be like, I would feel like I had to be going forward for the Lord every single day, every single minute, and if I wasn't, I'd be like a failure. Anybody ever feel like that? It's like, oh, I'm just messing, and I beat myself up. And then I realized, you know what? I'm going to have some bad days. And that's kind of scriptural. There's stuff that talks about trials and tribulations. And there's this guy named Job that went through a couple of things, even though he was a pretty good guy. He's got a whole book about him if you want to read about that. But, you know, it's about a process. It's nothing is ever rosy all the time. There's issues in life. We have to remain steadfast through those issues. We have to remain steadfast because there is a prize at the end, and that's a crown of life from God. And we have to live amongst these counterfeits for a little while longer. So don't be saying to yourself, oh God, why can't you just wipe these? It's not time yet. It's not time yet. Stop worrying about other people. Start worrying about growing in the Lord, shining the light of Yeshua, learning from each other, and preparing yourself for that coming deliverance that day. Because it's coming. And let me tell you, the signs are more and more pointing towards the Lord returning. We could not have said that 100 years ago. What is the greatest sign that we have is the state of Israel. That's scriptural. The state of Israel, Jerusalem. I mean, unbelievable what we see in the land. We would have never pictured it 100 years ago. as I've said before. You've seen these pictures. I mentioned this before. The picture of Tel Aviv in 1903, it was a desert. The picture of Tel Aviv today, it's this thriving metropolis. And again, it's not all about material things. This is the illustration, though, that God can take something that's totally dead, dry bones, Ezekiel, and he can raise those dry bones. He did it for you and I. He's going to do it for our people in the land, and one day he's going to deliver us all from these counterfeits along throughout this world. Let's close in prayer. God, we thank you, God of Israel. We thank you for teaching us about these parables. You know, because if I didn't have these instructions, Lord, I would just assume things and think, oh, well, I've got to do it this way or this way. I'm thankful, God, for the parables that you've given, for the illustrations. I'm thankful for the instructions so that I know. I'm thankful for the fact that some of these men in the Bible, God, were flawed, and I can learn that, hey, I'm going to be flawed too, and that's okay. I need to keep striving towards the goal. This is just a buildup of faith. So, Lord, thank you for this parable. Thank you for this analogy. We must live, Lord, for a time amongst these weeds all throughout the world. And it's hard sometimes to tell who's really on your side and who's a wolf in sheep's clothing, Lord. But you know, God. We don't have to try to worry about it. You know. So I pray, Lord God, you protect each and every one of us as we follow you, as we grow in maturity, Lord God, as we look towards our deliverance and that crown of life you're going to give us. Strengthen every single person here, Lord God, that is already a believer in you. Strengthen them. Maybe they just need some strength today. Maybe they're feeling a little weary, Lord. Fill them up. Maybe they're running on empty. Fill them up today. And Lord, for those that have never accepted you, I pray that you would stir on their hearts to accept you, to lay out their sins in front of you, Lord God, and say, I need you in my life. I can't do this. I can't. There's too many weeds in the world. Lord, let them come to you now and accept you as Lord and Savior. It just takes that time in the heart and just saying, Lord, I want to be your follower. I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. Lord, I just pray for all of us here that you would touch hearts, that you would really challenge us today to strive a little closer to you today, Lord God, and tomorrow and the next day when we don't even feel like it. Lord, encourage us. Be with us. Grow us in you, Lord God, and help us to drive further and further towards maturity in you. We thank you. Lord, we praise you. Give you all the praise, glory, and honor in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.